Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We are looking at the description of love found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, as you know, is the premier chapter on love in the Bible. The chapter opens with a statement about the necessity of love, that without love, eloquence becomes disconcordant and spiritual gifts become ineffective and self-sacrifice becomes unprofitable. And after impressing upon us how important biblical love is, we then come to a 15-fold description of that love, which helps us to understand what the Bible is talking about when it talks about love. And it is a very different thing than what most people have in mind when they use the word love. We've covered the items in verses 4 and 5, five statements in verse 4 and four statements in verse 5, so we've covered 9 of the 15, which tell us love suffers long and is kind, love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. And now we're going on to the two that are listed in verse 6 and the final four that are listed in verse 7. Let's ask God to help us get these concepts in mind so that when we are talking about love, we're talking about the same thing that the Bible is talking about. When we are endeavoring to develop love in our lives, we are endeavoring to develop the same thing that the Bible is talking about. And so I welcome you to this Thursday, April 14 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, with many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. How vitally important this is. Love stands against unrighteousness. How is righteousness and unrighteousness defined? It's also defined by the Bible, and we realize that righteousness is those things that please God according to His revealed word. Unrighteousness are those things that displease Him. In other words, righteousness is doing good, doing righteously. Unrighteousness is sinning. So that throws immediately out this erroneous concept of love, which equates love with sexual freedom. And there have been many, many organizations over the years, sometimes cults, sometimes others, that have paraded their commitment to love. And what they mean by that is promiscuous sexual activity. We are a loving group, a loving society, a loving community, and we just love everybody, meaning we have unrestrained promiscuous sex between everybody. But wait a minute, love does not rejoice in iniquity. It stands against unrighteousness. That's not biblical love, is it? whatever it is not biblical love. It is actually sin. It is unrighteousness. It is an abomination. It is the opposite of love. It's amazing how sinful humanity can take Bible words and infuse them with meanings that are the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches, and love is certainly one of those. But love does not rejoice in iniquity, but, contrary to the first statement, or opposite the first statement, rejoices in the truth. And so, in short, true love stands against unrighteousness and takes sides with truth. That's an important concept to understand. It is not loving to tolerate unrighteousness, contrary to what many people think. It is not loving to tolerate error, contrary to what many people think. Sometimes if you are trying to take a stand for truth and righteousness, perhaps in a church or other Christian organization that seems to be sliding away from its biblical moorings, and you say, wait a minute, we can't allow that, we can't tolerate that, we can't include that. And what is the charge that so often comes? Oh, you are being unloving. If you were loving, if you were a loving Christian, then you would embrace all of these different perspectives, all of these different ideas. Yes, it's true that these people teach something contrary to what you believe, but after all, if you are loving, you will be tolerant toward that. And thus we are, again, pressured to take the biblical concept of love and destroy it, turn it upside down, stand it on its head, and in essence say that true love stands for unrighteousness because it would be unloving to stand against it. True love will not insist upon truth because it would be unloving to insist upon truth. But the Bible tells us just the opposite. If we want to be people who have God's love, biblical love, Christian love, then we're going to be those who do not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. And that brings us, therefore, to verse 7, and there are four final concepts that describe love here. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, even as I read that list, I recognize that some would say, wait a minute, that sounds like it is the exact opposite of what we just found in verse 6. You told us that verse 6 says that love stands against unrighteousness, and now you read in verse 7 that love bears all things and believes all things. So which is it? Well, you can be certain that there is not a contradiction between verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible doesn't contradict itself at all, and certainly not that close. I mean, it's not doesn't anywhere, but it's really foolish to believe that the Bible means the opposite in verse 7 of what it said in verse 6. So, having examined verse 6 and now reading the concepts in verse 7, we have to understand them in the light of what we have learned in verse 6. So, what does this mean? Love bears all things. That has the idea of love covers and protects and endures. Love is not, it does not stand for untruth and unrighteousness, but it's not nitpicky. It's not looking for an opportunity to expose every little indiscretion, but it has a broader blanket than that. It covers. It covers. It protects. It endures. It, secondly, believes all things. Obviously, in the light of verse 6, It rejoices in the truth. Obviously, believes all things does not mean that love believes what is false. Love will lead you to believe what is false. Love will lead you to tolerate what is false. No. That would be a blatant contradiction of what we just saw, but believes all things means it gives people the benefit of the doubt as long as possible. It wants to believe the best. We've all been in situations where we have had questions. What did that person mean by what they have said? What did that person intend to accomplish by what they did? And it's always possible to put the worst spin on it or the best spin on it. Now, when something is so clearly wrong that you can't honestly spin it away, then you can't cover it. You can't believe the best about it. You have to acknowledge that it's wrong, because love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. But when you're not sure, haven't you found yourself in that place? I certainly have. When you're not sure, what do? Well, you give people the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes you have to do that several times, over and over again, because love wants to believe the best about others, especially about our Christian brothers and sisters. And so oftentimes I will find myself in prayer saying something like, "Dear Lord, I don't know for sure what that person meant by that statement or what they meant by that action they took. It does look like it could have been something that was antagonistic and hostile and meant to harm, but I'm not sure about that. It's not clear. It's not obvious. And so, oh Lord, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to commit it to you. I'm not going to make an issue of it. I'm not going to try to confront them over something that is not clear, not clearly wrong. It's just raised some doubts in my mind, but love bears all things. Love believes all things. So I'm committing it to you, and, dear Lord, if in fact this person does have malicious intent, then you deal with it. And if this person is going to continue to do things that are maliciously designed to do harm, then you bring that to light so there's no question about it. It's not that it could be that, but it might be something else. Because as long as it's like that, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to believe the best. And so if I need to come to a different conclusion, then, Lord, you're going to have to bring more information to light. You who know the heart, you who know every action, why it was done and what it was intended to achieve, you need to bring things to light so that if this is iniquity, then we can know that. I can know that. If this is something contrary to truth, then I can know that. So love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things. Again, that's a basic optimism toward others. It hopes for the best. It refuses to take failures as final, but only as a temporary stumbling. And finally, it endures all things. It perseveres. It is steadfast. Now that finishes the list of 15, and we all fall short. Only the Lord Jesus Christ exercised these 15 statements about love perfectly. But he will give to his children a desire to love this way. He will give us the help we need to love this way. He will cleanse us from failure when we fail to love this way. And this is, we are told, more important than any spiritual gift. Let us learn and honor the Lord with our love. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.